Please consider the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2015, we're approximately $93,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Journalists don't like it when prayers are offered to a God that is different than their God. Their God is big government. They are very devoted followers.
When every other hope fails, all the hopes and the dreams we make for ourselves, then we know that there is one whose promises to us do not fail, and he will keep his word.
My question to my critic will simply be, you tell me, where is Miss Wolf wrong? She's one of you, not one of me. Where is she wrong?
And when you see the title of his book, The Power of I Am, I want you to remember that he is teaching a gospel where you are your own savior.
Next hour, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play our four soundbites, and then your votes will decide which will be soundbite of the week. The listener with the best vote will get the LPR bundle package. That's the next hour of Issues Etc. Well, everybody knew that the Supreme Court's decision, the Obergefell decision on same-sex marriage, would have legal ramifications. One of them has come up recently with regard to the Boy Scouts of America. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has been wary of the Boy Scouts of America since they started to make decisions that were accommodating to the LGBT agenda. And recently, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod found it necessary to dissolve its memo of understanding with the Boy Scouts of America. Joining us to explain that, Pastor Bart Day, Executive Director of the LCMS Office of National Mission. Bart, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, thank you. Great to be with you again today.
What has changed recently with respect to the Boy Scouts of America that required the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to dissolve its memo of understanding with them?
Yeah, in the last year, the Boy Scouts made another change. You'll remember way back in 2012, they took up a question of membership of the actual members in Scouting and the whole same-sex attracted homosexual issue with the members. That happened back in 2013, and we met with them and talked through that and felt that it was still tenable for Synod to have an MOU just because a member said that he had same-sex attraction. That before their change meant that they had to be immediately removed from Scouting, and we felt, well, as you wouldn't remove somebody from the church just because they said that. In Scouting, with our charters and congregations being involved, we could keep that relationship. But in those meetings, we talked about adult membership because we knew there was more to this. And they said, no, once we make the change of members, we're not going to have, you know, openly gay Scout leaders. This will not come to the table ever. And less than 2 years later, that's what's at the table, and Boy Scouts reached out to us and said they were going to make a change, really in response to the Obergefell Supreme Court decision that was coming and happened last summer on same-sex marriage, that the Boy Scouts just understood that their position on adult leaders was no longer tenable. They were facing any number of lawsuits. They had received legal counsel that said old rulings that the Boy Scouts had gotten, like in the Dale ruling for the Boy Scouts as sort of an organization that was a part of public accommodation, that they just felt that this was no longer tenable. So the recent change was that they can now, there's no longer a ban on openly gay Scout leaders in the Boy Scouts, and that caused great concern for the LCMS. And we felt that for Synod itself, it was no longer tenable to have this relationship, even through a memorandum, with the Scouting organization. So that is what has changed. That doesn't, Todd, really change the individual decisions that need to be made in individual households where we just have LCMS kids who are participating in Boy Scouts. And it doesn't really change a congregation and what they're going to do if they're going to have a charter. But as you read in our statement, not only the sort of moral, ethical changes happening in Scouting and whether or not Scouts can really keep the LGBT agenda out of Scouts now is going to be a question, but we're really concerned that since the Supreme Court ruling in the Obergefell case, What that really means, where the boundaries are drawn, are extremely unclear. And we will probably have a decade of very intentionally fought legal battles, state and federal, to figure out where the boundaries are. And we have legal concerns about congregations who charter with Boy Scouts and the potential legal liability to them. Now, that's crystal ball gazing. You know, you can't ever guess where the lawsuits are going to come. But let's be honest, we've seen this in other areas of the church. Many targeted lawsuits, specifically against churches and other non-sectarian organizations, to find out how much protection do they really have under the First Amendment, what do rulings like the Obergefell decision really mean for a congregation. And the Boy Scouts released a legal opinion when they made this change for adult leadership. They quoted several court cases, including the Hosanna Tabor case, which was an LCMS case, believing that First Amendment and things like Hosanna Tabor will actually protect a congregation now, an LCMS congregation with a Boy Scout charter. We're just not sure that that's really true. You know, Boy Scout leaders are not ministers of the gospel. The Boy Scout troop is not a church entity. And when congregations have a foot in both worlds, there is a liability, we fear, as lawsuits now happen, to figure out what the Obergefell decision means in real life, in real time. And again, it's crystal ball gazing. So Synod's never had a position on scouting. In the 50s, we said it's not unionism, it's not syncretism. Every congregation needs to decide. That's still the case. It's not tenable for LCMS, though, to have the MOU, which people appreciated. It validated a congregation's participating, or it gave some guidance in the MOU previously. That's just no longer tenable with where the Boy Scouts are, and we think where they're going. And we just want congregations and individuals, as they make a decision on participating in scouting, know what scouting is, know what it isn't, be the church, understand the parameters and the boundaries that you may be prescribed to within Boy Scouts. And if you have the charter at a congregation, seek local legal counsel. Make sure that you're aware of how you protect yourself in case there is a legal entanglement over you choosing who your leaders are or what the content is. Boy Scouts feel that that's very safe. We know that they're saying that, but as the lawsuits come to figure all of this out, we would hate to see LCMS congregations find themselves in the middle of really nasty lawsuits over this, and we just want them to be aware as they go forward.
So you've used the term crystal ball gazing, but sounds like, to be fair on both sides here, Boy Scouts of America are trying to be proactive because they're saying, look, we're already facing lawsuits and we will in the future. We simply have to understand Obergefell is the law of the land for now. And for us, that is the Boy Scouts of America. We can't put this restriction on leadership any longer. The LCMS, for its part, is trying to be proactive as well, saying, look, that's fine for you. We can no longer maintain any kind of understanding with you on the basis of that. But now we need to kind of sound a call to our congregations in particular that we need to think proactively about the legal landscape that congregations exist in that are involved in the Boy Scouts of America.
Right. I think that's absolutely right. And the flip side of both of those is true. I don't know that the change is what maybe even leadership in Boy Scouts think is morally or ethically for them personally a good thing for the organization. They just know that they believe they have to do this legally to protect themselves, or BSA as a whole could be destroyed. We're also not telling people that in congregations or individuals that you can't interact with the world, which is an awful mess with sin. But when you do that, we need to at least remind you that Boy Scouts is not church, and there is certain entanglement here and challenges that you need to be very aware of, and be the church, be faithful. So I think you're spot on in your analysis of both BSA and their decision and why the LCMS needed to make the decision that we did.
Are there future plans from where you sit, Bart, to offer some concrete guidance to congregations and even perhaps to individuals when it comes to this issue?
Yes, and we wrote that at the tail end of the letter, that Synod has really not evaluated scouting since the 40s and 50s, which is this unionistic syncretistic. There's no doubt that there are a lot of other scouting organizations that have cropped up, and they will continue, and many of them are quite overtly Christian, and they want to have a relationship with the Synod. So, you know, if you guys don't want to be with Boy Scouts, come with us, because we're a total faith-based Christian organization, and you have to sign this statement of faith to be a part of us. Well, Todd, that raises a whole other set of questions. Like, if you're really faith-based, then what is the content of the faith? And now, is this more edging on unionism or syncretism, or is your statement of faith actually Trinitarian, or if it's anti-sacramental, well, now we have a whole other set of, you know, questions or challenges for our congregation or members to be involved in. So President Harrison did say we need to put together a task force, we need to look at scouting as a whole, we need to look at these other faith-based scouting organizations, find out how we can be involved. Todd, we've even had conversations that the LCMS's involvement in scouting in general, at least with BSA, was a pan-Lutheran with the ELCA. That was never helpful because our voice was somewhat always muted or at tension even with the ELCA. So we could even go back and start to offer better religious instruction curriculum for all of scouting. They use organizations like PRAY that do the religious badges. Well, maybe we need to redo the LCMS badges for even people who remain in Boy Scouts so that the content is actually good and it's not sort of compromised as sort of a pan-Lutheran endeavor. So I think all these things are on the table. We want to circle back and talk about that, and knowing that a lot of our members as individuals are still going to participate in some kind of scouting. Some congregations are going to keep charters with BSA or other organizations. So we owe the church some further help, support, guidance. Again, it's not sort of being dictated or decreed from on high by synod. Congregations and individuals are going to make those decisions, but we need to help them at least understand the dynamics in relationships with those organizations, what they are and what they aren't. So stay tuned. There is going to be some more. But again, it's not going to be a decree from on high. It's going to be hopefully helpful information and guidance for people and congregations as they're making a decision on the role of scouting with their youth.
One other question, and this is kind of the broader picture, Bart, which I know you are well aware of, and that is the whole landscape for LGBT rights has quickly shifted under our feet, and it's presenting a challenge not just with respect to things like scouting, but with respect to our institutions of higher education.
Sure. Recognized service organizations, everybody is feeling the pinch.
This is something that the church really must address, not only theologically, but also legally and organizationally, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, theologically, I think we're good, but how that plays out in real life and how that plays out in the legal realm, and my concern, and I've shared this with you, I think last time we talked, if the church does not become proactive in that conversation and in that arena, we will only be reactionary, maybe in the midst of lawsuits and things that are going to start to destroy our agencies and organizations. I mean, Todd, we can't wait to lose, like, two of our Concordia universities in some kind of catastrophic meltdown. I mean, we can't do that. We have to start being very proactive, and people are. The CUS and other people, Synod Legal Counsel, they are having these conversations about how do we actively work in the civil realm within the court system to assure our First Amendment rights, to assure our protections and our freedom on these very issues where I think the lawsuits are extremely targeted. They are intentionally targeted to push and see where the boundaries are. And that's why when congregations or our schools, you know, when you're taking federal money, when RSOs are mixed up with the church but with the state, those are prime places for lawsuits to happen where I think we're going to find that the church less and less is going to be able to just to raise the flag of religious freedom and try to keep this other foot step down in the civil realm and have it both ways. I mean, again, it's crystal ball gazing, but it's already happening. And organizations like Beckett Fund and ADF and others are fighting those good fights, you know, for all of religious liberty and with the LCMS as a part of kind of a conglomeration that works with those organizations. But you're right, we have to be extremely proactive. We cannot wait for the chips to just fall where they may, because I'm afraid that the church could certainly be extremely marginalized in the world. And the church wants to be in the world, not just, hey, you got freedom of worship, close your doors and do whatever you want, free exercise behind your church door, but don't live that out or have anything to do with the world in the civil realm. That's not the way we understand our religious freedom and our ability to live our Christian vocation daily.
Folks, you can read a recent statement issued by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod dissolving its memo of understanding with the Boy Scouts of America at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Bart Day is Executive Director of the LCMS Office of National Mission. Bart, keep up the good work.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
When we come back, we'll talk about the faith of a police officer killed during a shooting at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs. He wasn't only a police officer, but also an evangelical pastor and pro-life. Terry Mattingly, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, will be our guest. Please consider the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2015, we're approximately $93,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at mountziongreenfield.org.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.